Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and today we're joined by one of my favorite people, attorney Thomas Renz. His website is TomRenz.com. That's spelled R-E-N-Z, by the way. TomRenz.com, and he has breaking news. He posted a video just recently of, I believe it's a nurse. He'll tell us. Well, let me just bring him in. Thomas, it's awesome to have you on. Welcome to the show. Thank you for all your courage and how you're fighting for freedom in America. It's just great to have you here.
Well, glad to be here, Mike. It's been too long. I always appreciate seeing you.
Yeah, it's nice to see you too. It's hard for us to get together because we're both so dang busy doing so many things. You are helping so many people on the legal side of things. But right now you've got a whistleblower. This is almost like a Project Veritas style thing. Not exactly the same, but walk us through this and then we'll play the audio for the audience. What is this we're about to hear?
Yeah, so I have a client and she's got a lawsuit for religious discrimination. She is a Stanford-educated PhD in pharmacy. She's a mom of five, good, credible lady. Ran clinical trials for Big Pharma, actually. I mean, she was really a high-end pharmacist. She went back into the hospital system, wanted to be in patient care. And this COVID stuff happened. She says, you know, listen, I don't like what I'm seeing in these hospitals in my hospital. And the hospital's asking me to sign off on a protocol that I think, you know, could result in death. You know, it could hasten death in certain cases. She said that she was uncomfortable with it. So she said, you know, hey, can I have a religious exemption? Because I can't sign off on a blanket policy that's going to potentially kill people. And the hospital said no, fired her and retaliated. All sorts of issues. So anyways, while this was all happening, she started recording things. You record to have evidence. And the clip that you're about to play is a conversation between her and a nurse talking about some stuff happening in the hospital, literally talking about what they were doing there. So,
wow. Okay. All right. I'm going to hit play and we'll give it a listen.
This transfer, but because I mean, you know the politics. If you complain or stir it,
right,
they're gonna shut you up and move you out.
Yeah, because
I couldn't live with
that. I asked our teacher, say, "Was okay? Are we hospice floor? What's the deal?" She said that Dr. Spiegel said this floor is gonna be his patients. So I was like,
See, I'm gonna have to always do the.
So we're killing the patients this floor because they're doing what he's asking us. Well, other floors don't want to do it.
Yeah. I couldn't sleep at night. And then when that nurse practitioner, when you got that mission to do the morphine and you're like, she doesn't need it. And I was just like, this is what I'm talking about. It's not right.
If they're okay, they're okay. If they're comfortable, they're comfortable. We can tell when they're in pain. We can tell when they're agitated. We can tell when they are whatever. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make that you keep giving them medication just to knock them out. Because apparently that's what you were doing.
Because I remember that day you were like, you got the other nurses to come in and I'm just like, I know, that's what they're doing.
Wow, okay, that's disturbing. They're describing that an entire floor of the hospital is dedicated to essentially killing patients.
Yeah, that's precisely what it sounds like they're describing. You know, what's this nurse, you know, she says, you know, the doctor, he's telling them what to do. And I mean, I don't know. It to me, when I see this, it conjures up images of Auschwitz. I mean, it's they're killing people. They're, you know, forcing them. They're giving them these injections. They're doing these things. You know, they're giving them medication that apparently they don't need or too much medication. I mean, she talks about the morphine there. You know, I don't know. I mean, when the hospitals are literally, they're killing people, the other floors don't want to do it.
Right. That the other workers refused this because it's so egregious. So So this floor is dedicated to killing patients. But we also know, Tom, that hospitals were mass murder centers just with ventilators. We've seen the research come out on that. I know you've seen that most of the so-called COVID deaths were actually infections caused by ventilators and remdesivir and the COVID protocols. And then additionally, these hospitals got financially rewarded for killing patients. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, in many cases, per fatality that they caused.
Yeah, well, let me be real clear about this. This was manufactured via the laws that we passed. We passed laws that said, we're going to give you more money if you call it COVID, regardless of what it is. We're going to give you more money if you put them on a vent. And we're going to give you more money if we give them remdesivir. And we're going to give you even more money if we kill them. And then not only are we going to give you more money for following the protocols and doing all the things that we're telling you to do, we're going to give you immunity so that the lawyers can't sue you for murdering the family members. So, wow. You know, what we did was we set up a situation where we protected hospitals from murdering people.
And when you say we, you mean the government. You mean the American government.
We the government. We the American people. We the American people. And you know what? We all got to take a hand in this. I mean, I've been fighting this since day one, Mike. You know I've been fighting it. You know how I fight it. I fought everything that happens.
Yes.
And I'm going to say, we the American people, by allowing these laws to stand, by not doing something about it, by not fighting it, we the people created a situation through a corrupt government where we facilitated the murder of God knows how many. All I know is this situation is one where I've got an audio tape describing it, but it's a situation that I've heard firsthand whistleblower accounts over and over and over again. It's just the first time that I've got an audio tape that I can share so that everybody else can hear it too.
Would it be an exaggeration to say that you've heard this from 500 people already?
No, that would not be an exaggeration. I would say that if 500 nurses or doctors, I would say that if we talk about people collectively, including patient families, it's been thousands.
Yeah, because your phone, it just blows up constantly. I know because so many people for years, since I've known you, people have been reaching out to you desperate for help because often they had a loved one who was being murdered in a hospital and the hospital would not allow the family member to even have access to their own spouse or daughter or mother. It is Auschwitz. It's the modern day version of Auschwitz, but in a way it's hard to compare morality. It's evil in every case, but the intensity of this evil, that it involves an entire profession that's supposed to be healing people and helping people recover, that profession has been perverted into a murderous regime, hospital homicide. Somehow that's even more evil.
Yeah, well, understand something. So let me talk about the Auschwitz comparison. One of the things that was really prominent in World War II was uninformed consent and medical experimentation on people. And it's horrific. That's where the concept of informed consent came from, for anybody that doesn't know. And, you know, from that, we got to understand, in this instance, we had uninformed consent on remdesivir over and over again. We had hospitals. Do you know how many times I have people coming forward telling me that the doctors were standing at the foot of the bed screaming at the patient, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to take this or you're going to die? That we had over and over again stories of egregious and horrifying abuse. We had experimented. There was no option. There was no my body, my choice, right? There was no, hey, can we try ivermectin? Oh my God, no, you're not trying that. Well, wow. You just told me I'm going to die. If I'm going to die, why isn't it my choice? Isn't there some legislation out there that says it is? And the answer is yes. President Trump passed some legislation that would have, as fussy as we are with President Trump on the vaccine, he did pass some good legislation that says, you know, if we've tried everything else, you can try what you want to try. You know, but it was my body, my choice if you want to kill a baby. But when it came to trying you know, something like ivermectin or HCQ, Nobel Prize winning, you know, type drugs that are safe and effective and have done wonderful for years. Those, no, there's nothing there. In this case, we not only denied informed consent in terms of trying out new drugs like remdesivir, which, you know, they had to pull with, from clinical trials due to the incredibly dangerous results that they were getting. But they also denied informed consent in the sense that they withheld true information about drugs like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine.
Right.
That could have potentially saved millions of lives.
Well, you know, I've taken ivermectin numerous times when I became symptomatic, and I have direct family members that I credit ivermectin with saving their lives from COVID.
Yeah. Well, I've taken it quite a few times myself. And I'll tell you, you know, so for me, ivermectin, it's wonderful in terms of eliminating when I've had any sort of issues with this. I get a minor side effect from it. It makes my belly a little off, but that's it, right? So most people that I know, and I know a lot of people, and you and I have, you know, mutual friends, many of whom have taken this fairly consistently for several years now to make sure that they weren't getting sick, and it's worked great, and they've had no side effects.
Yeah.
I mean, a simple fact of the matter is that it won a Nobel Prize because it is safe and effective, unlike the lies that they told about the garbage we're getting.
So getting back to this video, you're representing this client. And by the way, I know because people are going to ask you this, what does your shirt say about Fauci?
Fauci for Gitmo.
Fauci what? Oh, for Gitmo. Oh, okay. Cause we can't see that because the microphone's there.
Yeah.
Fauci for Gitmo. No,
we have Fauci for Gitmo.
Okay, great. All right. That makes sense.
Yep.
all right. Nice. But getting back to the story then, your client is suing the hospital?
Yeah, my client was we believe that my client was discriminated against because she requested an exemption from okaying, pushing, accepting the policies that she believed were going to kill people, and said, you know, it's against my religion to kill people, and hospital said, we don't care.
Wow.
We think that that's it's kind of an interesting case. It's not a very common case. I can't say that I know of another case that I've had to file quite like this, but I'll tell you, I think what's really important here, though, is this particular piece of evidence, Mike, to me indicates that there ought to be an investigation for criminal wrongdoing. And that investigation, I would say that the Alabama AG ought to be involved, maybe the local law enforcement and several others. And I'm hoping that this is shared. I posted this as a tweet, and I'm hoping people help me push that tweet so that it continues to grow and to go further. I'd like to see that go viral enough that we can kind of see some action on it, because at the end of the day, there is no immunity from intentional wrongdoing. And if these guys knew what they were doing and they did it anyways, that looks
bad. That's my next question, because I believe we need criminal investigations involving every major hospital across the country. And I wanted to ask you, because you're an attorney and you're handling a lot of these cases, you know, if someone is a doctor and they're ordered by the government to engage in a medical intervention that they know substantially increases the risk of death of the patient and is not, you know, medically justified, or there are better alternatives, then what is the level of complicity or liability on the part of that doctor for participating in that intervention if the patient dies?
Well, to be clear, we can't say that we know that the doctor was ordered by anyone to do this other than apparently or possibly the hospital system. Now, this is an Ascension hospital, which is a huge system, huge system. And by the way, interestingly enough, Ascension Hospital is headquartered in St. Louis, Missouri, you know, where we just saw the opposition to our informed consent bill that we were trying to push.
Right.
But what it looks like is that this was implemented at the hospital or hospital system level. around the country and coordinated. And I would guess somewhere along the line, there was some advice given from the feds and some incentives provided by the feds. But the actual decision to implement these killing fields looks like it may have been done in the system. So the question then is, you know, I mean, if that's the case, there's no immunity at all on this. I mean, at the end of the day, if the CARES Act, all the PREP Acts, all these things, there's a carve out. Intentional behavior is not, there's no immunity there, right? So if you were to walk up and shoot someone in the head, there's no immunity. You know, because you claim it was a COVID treatment. And in the same way, if you OD someone on a drug or give them a drug cocktail that, you know, in combination is going to result in their death being hastened, there's no immunity there. I mean, because if you know, when we talk about this, we heard there, Mike, was morphine, right? How long has morphine been out? It's not a new drug.
No.
We know how much morphine's too much, and we know that if you use it with certain other drugs, we know exactly what happens. Now, you've got a Stanford-educated pharmacist who's telling you, hey, there's a problem here, and instead of looking and immediately saying, okay, well, we need to look at this protocol and decide what's best for our patients and see whether there's an issue, this hospital plows ahead and says, you know, they fire the pharmacist and plows ahead with the protocols to really, you know, try and push this. Well, how much more evidence of intent can you have? You know, they're making big bucks off of this. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. There's a profit incentive in this, but I think there's another bigger issue, which I believe is part of the reason why you feel it is urgent to fight this, that if they aren't stopped now, well, they can do this again in the next pandemic. And there's already, they're talking about the next pandemic, and it might be even scarier in a way. It will certainly come with a lot of media fear-mongering. Well, what if the hospitals decide for the next pandemic, the appropriate treatment, you know, increases your risk of death by 1,000 times above normal background levels? Well, you know, they're going to pull the same thing. And at some point, we have to say, my God, you can't just kill people and call it treatment, because that's a crime.
Absolutely. I mean, that's it, right? If we don't have accountability in COVID, then they'll do it again. And we know that they're working on their next pandemic. I mean, we know that. We've got paperwork. I got all sorts of stuff on that. You know, there's a handful of things that may be the next pandemic. We're not 100% sure on what it's going to be, but, you know, it looks like it's coming. My guess is that we'll see it sometime in 2025, probably right around the time that WHO treaty is supposed to be fully implemented and ratified. And, you know, I mean, I don't think there's any question that that's the goal. But if we don't get some accountability, that's where we end up going with it.
And isn't it amazing how quickly medical staff and doctors and hospital administrators across the board just instantly abandoned the Hippocratic Oath, you know, medical ethics, even the American Medical Association medical ethics? They just abandoned all that instantly. Most of them did, not all, but most of them, and decided to just do whatever they were ordered to do, which resulted in killing and maiming who knows how many millions of innocent Americans. But isn't that shocking that there wasn't more resistance against this?
I think it's very shocking and sad, but I will tell you this. Not from the AMA or the state medical boards. Those were all bought and paid for by pharma. I mean, those guys are owned by pharma. So I'm not surprised at all there. I mean, the amount of money that goes to the various medical boards from pharmaceuticals, I mean, they might as well just retitle them, you know, Pfizer subsidiary 1 through 50. But the thing that is a bit surprising is the doctors, but I think that ties in with something, Mike, that I'm working on. So I posted, a week or two ago, a thing about Operation Nightingale, which I think you're aware of. That's where it's the DOJ investigation into the fake nurses. And what they had found is that there were thousands and thousands of fake nurses around the country. They had gotten fake credentials from some hospitals, and they were going after this on a large scale.
Yes.
And I don't know. I can't prove this yet, but I'm working on an angle here and I'm investigating this. And I suspect one of the things that we saw is we have enough anecdotal evidence that it's worth investigating, and that's where I'm at. But one of the things that we saw was a lot of doctors with credentials from foreign countries, which may or may not have been valid, and a lot of nurses with fake credentials. And, you know, it looks like a lot of the medical professionals quit. They just walked away, and they were, and a certain number of them were replaced by fakes. And then others had just sold out. Now, early on, I would say some of them were lied to and believed it. And I think at some point, you know, they probably, there were a fair number that would have become aware and just were so sickened by it that they were too ashamed or embarrassed to speak out and continued on. But whatever the reason is, it's horrifying that we have medical professionals who, instead of healing, took part in killing. And we need to ferret out which ones are which, and the ones that did this need to be held accountable.
Hospital homicide, medical murder. You described it as the killing fields on a floor-by-floor basis at some hospitals that you're directly involved with in terms of legal action. It is extraordinary. In fact, it's so horrifying that I think the typical oblivious person can't accept it. They can't believe that their doctor might have gone along with the coordinated systematic murder of patients. It's just, it's unthinkable to them. And isn't that part of the reason why they're getting away with it? I mean, even in the Third Reich, there were plenty of people in Jewish ethnic communities who were kind of downplaying the talk of other Jews being rounded up. You know, a lot of, I mean, I read books about this in history. A lot of Jewish families said, oh, stop being negative. No one's being rounded up. No one's being thrown into gas ovens and killed. But it was happening, in fact. Just people couldn't believe it.
Well, and this is the thing. So I studied a lot on World War II, and I think it's what happened to the Jewish people in World War II is so shocking and so hard to fathom that to this day, I think even though we all know what happened, it's hard to wrap your head around. I mean, you wrap your head around living people being put in an incinerator. I mean, I can't even fathom that.
Yeah.
And to do so just because of their you know, ethnicity or their beliefs or whatever, it's beyond comprehension. And that's the thing, though, right? That is the thing. If you do, sometimes things that are so evil that you can't comprehend them are easier to get away with than things that you can, because no one can look at it. And I do think, I mean, listen, we've got Anthony Fauci, the NIH, the DOD, all these people who are involved. They create this disease in the Wuhan lab. It gets out. I think there's an argument to be made that it was released intentionally, but, you know, regardless, it's out. And people start dying. Not many, though. So they lie about the numbers. They inflate the danger. You know, the flu went away for 1 year, 1 year only.
Right.
You know, they blamed everything on COVID, whether it was COVID or not. They denied any sort of treatment for anything that could be treated so that they could call it a COVID and death, instead put you on these protocols, because why not? You can't get sued for it as long as you call it COVID. I mean, we create a legal structure and an economic structure to fund this murder on a massive, massive scale. And then, you know, as it's happening, you know, I'm getting phone call after phone call. Hey, they won't let me see my loved one. Hey, they told me my loved one's going to die in 1 week. So why can't they let me try ivermectin if they're going to die anyways? Hey, you know, they're insisting on remdesivir. We don't want remdesivir, but they're forcing my loved one to take it. You know, I had one instance where a client came to me and their loved one was a veteran, PTSD, and this guy was a bit belligerent and hard to deal with because he's having PTSD issues, and the orderlies actually physically beat this guy, tied him to his bed till he would just lay there and wet himself. We had instances where You know, we would hear stories of loved ones being locked out of the room, and their family, you know, just why they had to watch their loved one die alone. They're crying and just, please let me see my wife, my sister, my whatever, please. Nothing. You know, these doctors just screaming at people, the worst, most horrific things anybody's ever seen. But no one wants to believe, well, that's another hospital. Oh, that's a rare thing. That's an isolated incident. I don't care if it happened once. It's too many. And the idea that we're going to just turn a blind eye to this and not investigate it, when I know, you know, you can only take so many phone calls, you know, hearing this all over the country before you start realizing how systemic it is, you know, it's something that has to be addressed.
Well, clearly, and it's horrifying even to hear those accounts that you're sharing with us here. But you mentioned earlier you thought that maybe the next pandemic might occur in 2025. And I was thinking that that's just about the time that a lot of new construction on these quarantine centers will be completed in various states in the United States and also various countries. Isn't it interesting that the COVID pandemic is declared to be over, but countries like Australia, New Zealand, and even states like Washington are still building quarantine camps? Isn't that interesting? And yeah. Folks, and this is me saying this, not you, Thomas, but if they're willing to kill patients in hospitals on purpose, medical murder, you think they won't round you up and throw you into a death camp that they call a quarantine center and exterminate you in those camps? You bet they will. Absolutely they will. And most people will follow orders. And that's the shocking truth that comes out of this. Most doctors will follow orders. Most nurses, not all, will follow orders. Most hospital administrators, they will follow orders. And they will do it for money, right? And the government can always print money to reward them for extermination of other human beings. So none of us are safe. As long as this phenomenon goes unaddressed, none of us is safe in this country. Would you agree?
I absolutely wholeheartedly agree. I mean, listen, Mike, we know this. Okay, we looked at this. We studied this. Statistically, children had 0% risk of death from COVID. No statistical risk from COVID. Yet these guys, who we now know didn't study, didn't even bother to do a study to see if the vaccines prevent transmission. Remember, the kids have to get vaccinated to keep grandma safe?
Right.
They didn't even study to see whether it'd have any impact. They didn't even check. They didn't even look. Yet the kids have to do it. They have to take these vaccines that are a huge, huge risk to their health because, I don't know. So these people are willing to experiment and kill children because there's no benefit to these vaccines, only risk, no benefit. And the farther out we get, the more we realize that these vaccines not only provide no benefit, they provide risk, a substantial risk without benefit. So, and for children who are at no risk of the disease, to take an experimental vaccine that doesn't prevent the transmission is inexcusable. You're exposing children to the risk of death with no benefit, none whatsoever. So do you think that people who knew this, and make no mistake, they knew it, I've got the paperwork. Do you think that people who knew this and who are willing to experiment and watch kids die, you think they're going to hesitate to do something wrong elsewhere? What do you trust these guys? You know, this is insanity if you trust these people. Okay, it's literally insane. These are people who are willing to hospital murders. I mean, they've shown themselves willing to kill, willing to let people die, to let innocents die, to withhold treatments that they knew were good. Early treatment, we've known it works from the beginning. They just covered it up. They lied. They created false studies. HEQ study that suggested it was dangerous was an absolute fraud, and they know that.
You know, it makes you wonder, anytime the government wants higher casualty numbers for their political purposes, it really makes you question what hospitals and doctors would do. For example, let's suppose there were, let's suppose a dirty bomb, you know, a radioactive bomb went off in a U.S. city. The feds and the FBI recently drilled in Houston, Texas. you know, what happens if Houston gets hit by a nuke? Now, let's suppose that, God forbid, a nuclear missile strikes Houston, Texas. Lots of people are exposed to radiation. Those people flood into the hospitals. How do we know the hospitals won't murder them so that the Biden regime can claim more Americans were killed by a nuclear missile? Because that's exactly what happened in COVID.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, listen, here's the thing. There's so many scenarios that we can imagine that, you know, this goes back to what I say. When do you trust a liar? You don't, right? I mean, we can come up with fake scenario after fake scenario after fake scenario that are only fake till they do it. But again, if you're a liar, why wouldn't you lie? And why would we trust you to not lie? And that's the problem, is our government has shown that they're not working in our best interests. They're working in their best interests. You know, they're demonstrating that there is no accountability. And it's time that we, the people, retake our government peacefully, properly. But it is absolutely time that we take steps. We need accountability. I'm going to be real honest with you. One of the things that is an absolute necessary, a necessity, is our intelligence community and our Department of Defense and our DOJ, that we have to have transparency and accountability there. Right now, you have one elected official, that's the president, and our current president poops his pants because he doesn't even know where he's at. You've got one elected official who's trying to oversee a huge, huge number of people with thousands and thousands of top secret projects and missions and things that are going on. And those top secret things are things that sometimes no one else in the federal government can know about, including Congress. We just keep funding these people to do whatever it is that they want to do with no oversight whatsoever. And with COVID, we now know, I mean, we've got evidence of the CIA's involvement of its creation. We know that the DOD was involved with the distribution of the vaccine. Right. We know that the DOD was involved with every step. We know that to this day, the DOD hasn't even bothered to respond under oath to the DMED data that I dropped. There's still been no official response. They said all it was fact checked us with some random leftist fact checker. Oh, there was a glitch. And that's all they said. There's never been an under oath response to that. Our DOD and these people are unelected, unaccountable. And, you know, we talk about, If you're a Trump guy, if you're a whatever you are, you see the Durham report just came out. Here's the thing. These people are unelected, unaccountable, and they are the swamp. They are the core of the swamp. And until we clean that out, we're going to be in trouble.
Well, right. And to add to that, now the DOJ and even the DOD and the CIA, they have taken all of the surveillance technology that they originally built, claiming to surveil, you know, radical Islamic terrorists. Yep. And now they've directed that to vaccine skeptics.
Yep.
People like you and I, and perhaps those watching this. So now you are the targets of this surveillance, and the entire government apparatus is being used to try to not just suppress you and blacklist you, but to murder you, actually, to quite literally murder you. Our government, they have become terrorists that are far worse than anything that Middle Eastern terrorists ever threatened against our country. I didn't see radical Muslim extremists running around the hospitals murdering patients, but I saw American doctors doing that.
That's
every
exactly
day.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, one of the things that I've seen is it's interesting because things have gotten really bad, and it's amazing. You can always tell what they're doing because they accuse us of it, right?
Right.
So I don't care whether you're black, white, yellow, green. I don't care if you're gay, straight, or whatever. I don't care if you are Christian, Muslim, Jewish. At the end of the day, the one thing that we have to come together on is freedom, right? You have the freedom to live your life. Now, I don't have to like how you live your life. I don't have to agree with how you live your life. But you do have the freedom to choose how to live it. Except for, you know, our government is trying to facilitate that ending. You know, we see a war right now. It's like when they like to talk to us about Christian nationals. Okay, so let me tell you what. I'm a proud Christian national. I believe in Jesus Christ, who told me to love my neighbor, treat my enemies with love, to treat people with respect, do unto others, do nice things and good things for people. What's wrong with that? I also believe in America, nation that brought about equality, suffrage, ended slavery, promoted freedom around the world, and created more prosperity than any other country in history. Which part of my Christian nationalism is a problem for you? And the thing about this is they want to go after that. They want to paint that as though there's something wrong. And why? Why is our government investigating people who believe that America's great? For American government to investigate people, nationalists, that means that you believe in your nation. It's not a bad word.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
No, they use it as a slur.
Yeah.
It's insane. You're not allowed to love America or the American flag, which I'm showing behind me here on the big screen. But one other thing, and then we're going to wrap this up, Thomas. But isn't it fascinating that the very same companies like Pfizer that push the vaccine are also pushing all the transgender clinics and the chemical castrations of children? And that whole medical economy now is based on mutilating children for profit. So if you thought, well, there's no way they would murder patients for profit, but they're mutilating children for profit. You see, I mean, it's the same abandonment of values and humanity. These are crimes against children now.
Or worse. I mean, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. To me, anyone that would do this to a child should be in jail for the rest of their life. It's one of the most disgusting things. It's definitely child abuse. You know, I've got a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old. You're going to tell me, and my 10-year-old and 13-year-old are not in the universe of being mature enough to make this sort of a decision. Yet these perverts, these sick perverts, you know, they want to push this on preschoolers.
Yeah.
They want to push us. You know, it's like DeSantis. They want to call that bill the Don't Say Gay bill. That has nothing to do with the bill. But I want to know, the thing that I didn't hear DeSantis doing that, and I wish he would have, is why didn't he turn that around on? Why is it Don't Say Gay? What kind of a sick pervert talks to a kindergartner about sex? They don't even know what it is. They're prepubescent. They're sexless. I mean, I got kids. They don't think about that stuff. They don't know about that. It's irrelevant to them. At the age of 4 or 5 years old, there is no sex in a child's life. Only when a sick pervert introduces it to them does that become a thing. And these people that are screaming, well, we need to do this with children, these are pedophiles. These are sick, sick people. And then you want to mutilate a child, permanently disable it. No, listen, you know, Mike, I've said this before. Hey, I'm a dinosaur. So, you know, I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to have someone sew a tail on me. I'm going to tattoo myself having green scales. And I'm going to tell you I'm a dinosaur. Does that make me a dinosaur? No, it makes me an idiot. The idea, you can't change what you are, right? It used to be called gender dysphoria disorder, dysphoric disorder. And the thing about this is, at the end of the day, I'm sorry, if you're a 40-some-year-old man or woman and you decide that you want to go through this because you've gone through all the appropriate counseling and you've got that disorder, and between you and your doctor or nurse, you decide that's the right thing to do, well, it's a free country. You start pushing this on a child, that's nothing but child abuse. And I find it sick beyond words.
Yeah, horrific crime. I agree. I think these surgeons that mutilate children should be behind bars for life. And I also think that any state medical association that supports that kind of activity, those people should be criminally prosecuted for their complicity in that. Every single one of them should be prosecuted and imprisoned. And because the example I use is, you know, let's say you have a six-year-old young boy who says, oh, I want to be a pirate. Well, you don't take him to the doctor and gouge out one of his eyes and cut off a leg. No. Oh, you're a pirate now.
Yeah,
I mean, that's because that would be insane. But when the boy says, oh, I want to be a girl, then, you know, a third of the country says, oh, yeah, go cut off organs and chemically castrate. And that's OK. It's just as insane.
And there's no difference. You're not a girl. You're not.
That's right.
There's no difference. You're a guy that got something cut off. You know, you're still a dude. You can't, just like I said, I can tell you I'm a dinosaur. I can get a tattoo that makes me look like a dinosaur. You can sew a tail on my butt. I'm still a guy with a tail on my butt at that point. It doesn't change who I am or what I am. You know, the only thing you can do is change your look, but that does not change the way that you were made. It just doesn't. There's no way to do that.
Yeah, you may be giving Pfizer ideas. Trans species, like prehistoric transgenderism. You want to be a pterodactyl today. You want to be a brontosaurus. How about a triceratops? How about that, Tom?
I'm in,
a triceratops?
Man. I'm in. I'm going to get a mask for my next Brighteon show. I'm going to be dressed like a dinosaur or something. The time runs dinosaur hour.
Exactly.
Something.
Well, wrapping this up, let me give out your website, tomrenz.com. That's spelled R-E-N-Z, tomrenz.com. Here's the site. Anything else you want to add, Tom, before we wrap this up?
We got to keep fighting back. The biggest thing that I want to do is I need to keep pushing the message out. It needs to be out as far and wide as possible. I need help making these things viral. Mike, you and I have talked, and it's kind of ironic because you and I are both actually pretty private people. I don't think you and I ever had any aspirations. I know I didn't have any aspirations ever having anybody see my face. And I don't think you were particularly into it either, but look at what we've had to do.
Yeah.
For our country.
No, we never sought publicity.
No.
We simply stood up and said what had to be stated.
And we continue it. But since the horse is out of the barn, and since we have to do this, we need people's help to do it well. That's we've got to get this shared. We've got to share Brighteon, got to share our shows. We've got to share our websites. And I really need help pushing this tweet out viral and pushing this information out. That video needs to be everywhere. Everyone who lost a loved one needs to see that and start asking the question, did this happen to my loved one?
Well, yeah, let's make sure that gets posted onto Brighteon.com as a standalone video. And also remind us, when is your show on Brighteon.tv?
11:30 today it was, actually. So 11:30 Tuesdays, that show should be posted online for everybody to rewatch later. And if you know, make sure you're taking a look at it because we did a full show on deep dive, just like we're doing here. And, you know, we need to get the word out.
Okay. You hear that, everybody. So check out the Tom Renz show on Brighteon.tv. The archived episodes are posted on Brighteon.com under the channel called Brighteon TV, by the way, if you miss it live, or you can just watch it live on Brighteon.tv each week. Also check out tomrenz.com, the website. And if you just scroll down, you'll find that video here. It's got kind of the black blank thumbnail.
Yep.
That's the video that we're talking about. And folks, post that everywhere. Share that everywhere. Get it all over social media. Repost it on Brighteon, Rumble, everywhere. Just get this out because, of course, the establishment's trying to censor all of this and shut all this down. They don't want people to know that their loved ones were murdered in the hospitals under COVID protocols. So thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure having you on. It's also a little horrifying, the things that you bring to us.
I wish I was, I got to be honest with you. Someday, Mike, you and I will get together and we'll be able to chat about something positive. But,
yeah,
you know, I guess in some sense, though, God's good, right? He lets us be fighters. He lets us be warriors in this. And he lets us bring forth new news and new information and new things that we can fight on to move this ball down the field. So it's an honor to do that. And I guess it's good that at least we're given the opportunity to fight because
that's right.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. Without God's protection, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to do this. And also, without your support, those of you watching, thank you for supporting both of us and please reach out and support tomrenz.com as well. So, thank you, Tom, and God bless you for all that you do and for the courage that you demonstrate here today. We are with you. We, the people, the real Americans, we are fighting for the survival of our families and our country. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. And for those of you who enjoy this interview, always you have permission to repost it elsewhere as well, so please do so. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. The video network that I built and founded so that we can have conversations like this without censorship. And thank you for watching today. God bless you all, and God bless America. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by two sponsors that can help you grow food. The first is arkseedkits.com. And this seed kit here, which is available at the website, arkseedkits.com. These are heirloom non-GMO seeds, so you can save the seeds and you can replant them generation after generation. You're going to need this to grow your own food. And if you want to know how to grow your own food, well, you need this. Marjorie Wildcraft's website here, icangrowfood.com, gets you to this where you can watch this free webinar from Marjorie Wildcraft, who's a frequent guest here. You just enter your name and email, you sign up, and she will teach you how to grow an enormous amount of food in a very small space, just about three parking lot spaces. I mean, three parking spaces for a car. That equivalent in terms of yard space will allow you to grow up to 50% of your food. You'll learn that from Marjorie Wildcraft at icangrowfood.com. And with the seeds plus the knowledge, you can't go wrong. All you need is sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide, and the CO2 is floating around for free, and the sun is free, and the water falls out of the sky, so how can you go wrong? But check it out and learn to grow food now while you have time. Thanks for watching. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.